The Sunday Sit-Down on Algoa FM.
There we go. Felix Jane teaming up with Zoe Weiss for a song called Do It Better. Brett Atkins, does that microphone work?
I hope so. Yes. I hope so.
I got it right. Technically challenged Barbie.
There we go.
Pulled the rabbit out of the hat. Nice one. Yep. Welcome back to Algoa House.
Thank you. It's been many a year. Many a year.
And you haven't been to this one, right?
And I haven't. And it's, I must say, I'm really impressed. You've got this beautiful view of the valley.
Yeah.
And it's really impressive inside. It's a lovely studio.
You made a good point, though. If history had turned out slightly differently and Newspaper House was still in the Barkins Valley and this building was in the Barkins Valley, you could have walked to me for the big screen movie guide all those years ago.
Exactly. We'd be neighbors.
Probably wouldn't have walked because petrol was cheap then.
Yes. And of course, the great irony is that Newspaper House as such is now at the atrium where
Algoa was when we privatized.
So it's been a sort of musical chairs, so to speak.
Yeah. I don't want to say I'm slightly remiss. You're one of the people I do know well enough to not to want to Google, but I also realize that I don't know enough about what you've been doing that recently that I shouldn't have. So I still didn't, but I think in the interests of time more than anything else, we should probably fast track the life of Brett.
Yes.
It's like the life of Brian with this. Actually, no, probably with more swearing, because I've been featured prominently. Where are you from originally?
East London.
Why did I think that wasn't the case? For some reason, I think Joburg, Joburg.
Born and bred in East London. Lived in Joburg and lived in Cape Town, but my origins are East London. And, of course, we share an – well, not really an alma mater. I went to Dale College, so did you, but not until – not through to matric.
I left at the end of standard 7.
Yes.
That's grade 9. I hate doing that conversion because immediately it dates you.
You always think twice. Have I got it right now?
The right way. The interesting thing is Rochelle Bloom, who works on the afternoon drive with Roland and of course does Saturday lunch, was at school when that changed.
Okay.
So she's had standards and grades. So she says it's particularly confusing for her. I can imagine. So did you study journalism, surely?
I didn't. In fact, I did a course with what was then South African Associated Newspapers, whereby you spent 6 months on all their newspapers. And in those days, those papers belonged to a group. They were all the morning papers. So it was the Natal Mercury in Durban, the Daily Dispatch in East London, Cape Times in Cape Town, and the Sunday Times, and of course the Herald in what was then Port Elizabeth.
Yeah, we just call it GQ now, which is short for Gebrekte.
So I spent 6 months on various newspapers, and that's how I got my training.
Must have been a spectacular learning curve.
It was, because every newspaper is different. They all have different operations.
In the pre-woke era, it was fitting or...
Yes, indeed.
We're not here for your delicate sensibilities. Then you spent some time in journalism. When did you pop into radio?
That was when I was at the SABC. I actually left the Herald and managed to get a job with Roy Williams.
Yeah.
Actually, he recommended me for a job in Johannesburg. And it was Radio Today's correspondent.
That's right.
In GQ.
Yeah.
And then it was into Joburg as a producer of Radio Today. And then...
What was the famous lady's name?
B. Reed. Yes.
Oh.
She had this beautiful voice.
Yes, she really did.
And of course, she had this incredibly calm demeanor on air, but off air. And as her producer, she would say... things like, and that was Keith Chalkley in London. And now we cross to Mike Kellerman in Washington. And then...
Mike's off.
And Brett, I told you before. This is ridiculous. You must have that lined up.
Bless. Right. And for how long did you do that? It was very successful and long running, no?
Yes. I was with the SABC for about 8 years. And then, of course, I got transferred back here and because they needed somebody based here. And that's when I got involved in Algoa, because those were Algoa's early days.
Yeah.
Radio Algoa, as it was then.
Yes, and then briefly Algoa Stereo, then Radio Algoa again.
Yes, and I think that's when we met, because I was reading the news.
That's right.
I was doing the morning news, the 7:30.
That's it.
7:30 bulletin.
And then when there was a programming shake-up in late 96, early 97, I ended up hosting, what was it? It was Afternoon Drive.
Correct.
It was 3 to 6 then, not 3 to 7 as it is now.
Yes.
And we had the big screen movie guides.
Wonderful.
With Brett Atkins.
It was one of my best things. I looked so forward to that every week. It was only 5 minutes.
Yeah.
A 5 minute slot.
But that would have been a challenge in itself.
Yes. To, you know,
to do justice to what you'd seen and what was new.
Which is why we introduced the two-word review.
That's right. Oh, wow. You are reminding me of so many things.
And that was, that was a challenge.
Mm. But then you didn't leave. you ended up becoming producer of The Breakfast Show with Martin Bester.
That's right, yes. So I had two jobs. I was doing that in the morning, very early in the morning,
yes.
Getting up at 5. And then doing the big breakfast with Martin and Carol Ann.
Yeah.
And then, of course, going to work for another 9 or 10 hours at the Herald. I don't know how I did it. I did it for 2 years. But
yeah. That includes one of bar none, of my favorite, not only moments, but pictures that encapsulates that moment entirely. The picture relating to the on-air wedding.
Yes.
Where we had Martin in a tux.
That's right.
Carol Ann in a wedding dress.
Yes.
Possibly only for the third time in her life. and you presiding as the minister who was the right amount of authoritative and creepy. I suspect it's the best way to summarize
it. I kind of remember it being almost Rocky Horror.
Yes.
Stylish. Yes. You know.
And that was, of course, the occasion of South Africa's first on-radio wedding.
That's correct.
That's Algoa handled.
And I had a pair of spectacles on. Those were just fake. These are real ones. These are real ones. That's how things have changed.
I joked about that because last Sunday I was kind of sitting, kind of wrapping up, and KC walked in, and he had glasses on, and I thought, sure, he doesn't wear glasses. Does he wear contacts the rest of the time? And he looked a little grumpy, and I was like, what's the deal? He's got glasses now. So I said, welcome. You are joining the Brilla and Pilla Brigade. You know, those people who tell you where it hurts and how badly they slept.
Yes. The only reason I realized I needed them was when I was doing Shakespeare in the park.
Yes.
And I was doing Richard III, and I was playing the lead, and I suddenly realized, you know, I can't learn these lines because I can't see them.
Somewhat of a problem, I think you'll admit. So, yeah, that reminds me that was another big, big, big chunk of your life.
Yes.
Is amateur theater.
Yeah.
And again, the term, particularly in this part of the world, amateur is misleading.
Oh, totally.
Amateur in this case means you did it.
Yes.
Because you loved it.
Yes.
Amateur means you didn't get paid. It didn't mean it was a half-hearted or
exactly.
a lackluster effort.
No, exactly. The thing is, the city didn't have its own professional drama company. CAPAB was supposed to look after, the performing arts here, but it never really could get a foothold because, CAPAB was Cape Town based. So, CAPAB didn't really, they brought one production maybe to a year. So it was up to PE Thespians to actually get on with it and do an incredibly good job, as late Helen Mann did, and various people like Noel Morgan, and wonderful directors who were professional beyond a standard of professionalism that you get even in Johannesburg and Cape Town today.
Yeah, I remember watching Angela Gabato direct.
Yes.
With a cordless mic from inside the audience, or from in the auditorium, obviously.
Yes.
During a rehearsal.
Yes.
And he also didn't mind putting in a harsh word if you weren't doing the thing as the thing needed to be done.
Discipline. So it was, you're quite right, it wasn't amateur in that sense at all.
No. Do you have a favorite from the roles that you played?
Oh, I would say there were two. There was Richard, which is an incredible role. You know, you're basically on stage for 3.5 hours or 3 hours.
You don't think of it like that, but yes.
And there's only one scene that he's not in.
Mm.
And, of course, he murders almost everyone in the cast. And do you know who played one of the young princes who I actually murdered?
Yes.
was Brendan Peele.
Yeah.
He's doing so well for himself these days.
And he was a young, his magic career, yeah.
He was a young prince in Richard III. The other role was Malvolio in Twelfth Night,
okay,
which is a lovely role to play because it's comedy at its best. And Twelfth Night and Richard III were different favorites.
Yeah. So all of those things that we've spoken about up until now eventually did drive you to drink, and
yes,
then you started writing The City Slicker.
That's right.
To commemorate that.
I had
fact.
No choice.
So many things drove us all to drink. But, so The City Slicker, somebody who might not know, but I see a couple of people have already referred to it in the messages that have been sent.
Unfortunately, it's been my legacy too. I never intended that. But it was simply because we were doing restaurant reviews at the time, and I realized there was a growing number in those days, also this was the mid-90s,
yeah,
of independent pubs. Most pubs were in hotels. In fact, it was very difficult for a place to get a liquor license,
right,
unless they were in a hotel. But that was changing. I realized it was important to review pubs just as much as it was restaurants.
Because it was also the start of the era of the so-called gastropub.
This, indeed.
Where food...
Yes.
Wasn't now just fried stuff that you hauled, yep, out of the freezer.
Yes.
There was actually an effort being made to up the level,
yes,
of food.
Indeed.
It was the start of the craft beer,
yes,
revolution as well.
Yes, and the drinks played just as important a part as the food.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Dances with Slicks.
Yes.
It's still around, I see.
Well, you see.
Fast forward. I just want to talk very quickly.
Yeah.
Dances with Slicks is a friend of Brett's, also called Charles. So whenever we were all in the same place, it got confusing because,
yes,
so few people are called Charles that,
yeah,
we're almost arrogant about it. You know that if someone says Charles, they can only be talking to you.
Yes.
When there's two of you, you both get,
yes,
annoyed because if someone says Charles, you don't know which one.
Yeah.
And now see.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that's your friend Charles Barnard, who,
yes,
has resurfaced now. But let's talk very quickly about lockdown.
Okay.
I read to my horror that you started eating better.
I did, which I couldn't believe. Because
out of self-defense.
I was a bachelor through and through, and takeaways were my thing. And, of course, you couldn't get anything. It was crazy.
No.
So I had to start cooking. And... it was, yeah, a learning curve, second to none.
So what is your now signature dish from this time?
I do a very good roast.
Cool.
I love a good roast lamb, and I do pasta, a lot of pasta. I love pasta, and but my grandmother actually used to do lovely roasts, and I thought, well, if I'm going to do this cooking thing, I may as well do what I remember, comfort food as a child. These lovely roasts with crisp roast potatoes and loads of vegetables. So I thought, well, I'm going to do this, and then I've got enough food for a few days.
Yeah, I get that completely. How are you on a Yorkshire pudding? Any good?
No, I'm not, but I love Yorkshire pudding. I haven't actually tried it yet, so I must actually. Is it quite simple? You would know.
It's pancake batter. The secret is getting the preheated pan you're making it in,
yes,
or giant muffin container,
yeah,
in the oven, super, super, super hot with lard in it.
Okay.
Getting it out, getting the pancake batter in,
yeah,
and getting it back in before,
okay,
either the oven or the container that you're going to bake,
yes,
it in cool down significantly.
Okay.
Because you want it to puff.
Okay, so it is tricky.
It is tricky.
I imagined as much.
But my mommy darling has gotten it right, so I don't have to. For as long as we have her, I don't need to know. I don't need to perfect that,
yes,
For instance. So fast forward to kind of post-lockdown times. And your friend Charles is back, so,
yes,
that the two of you can collaborate and be two damn fools.
Yeah. And we are these YouTubers. Now, if you told me 10 years ago that I was going to be a YouTuber one day, I would have laughed at you.
Yeah, be silly.
I'm a traditional newspaper, print newspaper guy. But, yeah, this was an idea we had many years back about because Charles' family has farms in the Karoo, and drought in the Willowmore area has always been a huge challenge for many, many years and continues to be. And this was a thing that we thought one day we could actually talk about doing something. We weren't sure what format it would take, but about the dance, because we wanted to do something fun. So a travel log kind of thing, camping. We always enjoyed going out.
But with an obvious infotainment aspect.
Yes, absolutely. So mixing the fun, mixing the information about the camping site we were visiting at a dam, and then, you know, bringing in all the issues that that particular dam was facing, be it drought, be it pollution, or whatever. What we found after the first episode or two were posted on YouTube is that other camping sites actually came and said, can't you actually make this a broader thing? Does it have to always be dams? What we were trying to do is say, well, there's an alternative to going to the seaside.
True.
You know, for a lot of upcountry folk, you don't have to drive to Durban from Joburg. You don't have to, you know, go to the beach. There are lots of resorts at dams which have lovely water features. And of course, by doing that, we're hoping to highlight the plight of many of those dams. And so Charles actually came up with the idea of two dam fools.
Yeah.
And of course, the dam is not the naughty dam.
It's the one with the N.
It's one without the N. And we've put together six episodes. The sixth episode was just posted about 2 weeks ago. And we've been to six provinces and we've had incredible feedback. The first episodes, it's only been up for about a year. It's well over 1,100 views, and the others are climbing.
Nice.
And we get a lot of great feedback.
Cool. I read the quick summary on that, and I would pay money for the uncensored version.
Yes.
And for the outtakes, for the stuff that doesn't end up in the final product.
Absolutely.
Because gets lost. The summary seems to get lost often. Burn things.
Yes.
Find wildlife where you didn't want to find wildlife.
Indeed.
And find the kind of wildlife you didn't ever think you were going to encounter.
Exactly.
What is it? Well disguised crocodiles.
Yes. and snakes
popping out of the water as you're about to
snakes in a river. I mean, wow.
So, and this is where we return to one of my favorite throwaway lines that I think was coined possibly originally by Martin, at the time that you and he were housemates, is, my idea of roughing it is a hotel with bad room service.
Yes. Well, you see, when we started out, we did the roughing it thing. And then eventually I said to Shaul and the other people who were assisting us.
Glamping people.
Glamping. Let's go glamping.
Yeah. Then, rather.
Yes.
Wow.
But of course we always try out the various options, and we try and find places. I mean, we've done a lot of mainstream, to coin a phrase.
No pun intended.
But yeah. We found, for example, an amazing spot in the KZN Midlands called Waterhoek, which is hidden away, beautiful. Another place in Limpopo, a Loskop Lodge. Also, where there are crocodiles, but very mild-mannered ones.
I don't care. I'm not going.
But it's lovely because all these places have something different to offer.
Yeah.
And they are, you know, they're family-friendly, but they offer adventures, canopy tours. So there's something for everybody, you know, if you want, you know, extreme sports, or if you want a quiet family holiday, especially like in the Drakensberg, where you'll have dedicated children's area with caretakers so that the parents and, you know, can do their own thing. The children can do their own thing. So the idea was to really explore these places and provide as much information about them as possible.
Love, 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 love. Well, we will keep following the two damn fools. And as is always the case, we have overrun so spectacularly time-wise that my boss is probably getting ready to message me.
My fault.
But this is a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful catch-up chat. Thank you so much for making some time.
And thank you for the invitation.
It is an absolute pleasure. This will be podcast tomorrow, and you can go back and re-listen it, and you can ask all the people who watch Two Damn Fools to go and do the same.
Indeed. Thank you so much, Charles.
Thanks.
Your digital library experience. Podcasts from algoafm.co.za.